Well, we're continuing our series 2020, What Would Jesus Say? This has been a year of unprecedented challenge and change, and the year is not over yet. And so we need to hear Jesus clearly, and we need to hear Jesus correctly. And so that is what we're attempting to do over these few weeks, ask the question, what would Jesus say to us? And today, we want to ask, what would Jesus say about fear? Really, everyone is afraid of something or someone. And I came across this graphic. It's about the circle of fear, and I would love to show it to you. This makes a lot of sense. So the cockroach is afraid of the mouse. The mouse is afraid of the cat. The cat is afraid of the dog. The dog is afraid of the man. The man is afraid of the woman. And the woman is afraid of the cockroach. So it just goes around in a circle. You see, there's been no shortage of things to be afraid of in 2020. We are in the middle of a worldwide health pandemic, and then there were shutdowns, and then there was civil unrest, then there were historic elections. Some of that's still being sorted out. And so we have a lot of concern about our physical well-being. We have concerns about our liberties and our freedoms. We have concerns about justice, about peace, about unity. And one of the greatest privileges I have as a pastor is when someone either calls or comes up to me and says, would you pray with me? And I love that. And I have kind of a running tally as people ask for prayer. What are they asking for prayer of? And the number one prayer request that comes up over and over again over the years has been anxiety, and it's been fear. And this request is especially prominent with younger adults. And so as much as things have changed in the year 2020, some things have remained exactly the same. Primarily, we battle with fear, and fear is a spirit. And so what would Jesus say to us today? I want us to look at Luke chapter 12, because this passage deals with fear. It deals with our anxieties, our worries, and how we should handle all of that. You know, fear has a tremendous cost on our economy. It has a tremendous cost on health care and on productivity and in missed work. It has been estimated that 90% of all illness is the result of fear and the related stress and anxiety. And all that existed before 2020, before the coronavirus, so now you can just take all of those costs and increase them. And so what does Jesus have to say to us? Luke 12, 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Jesus says, don't worry about the length of your life. Don't worry about the necessities of life. Don't worry about the circumstances and the finances. And as we read on in this passage, you'll see Jesus saying the same thing over and over again. Do not worry. And he gives us three big reasons why we don't need to have fear. The first reason that Jesus gives to us is that God is our Father. There's no need to be worried. God is our Father. It's uncalled for. Those times when we get anxious, those times when we're worried about what is happening, we think about the circumstances, we're forgetting the fact that we have a good and perfect Heavenly Father. You know, this church is filled with fantastic dads, and you love to provide for your kids. And here's what I know. Your kids have never wondered, are we going to eat? Are we going to have a shelter over our head? You know, as dads, we don't want our kids to worry about those type of things. We want our kids to intuitively know we care for them. And God wants us to understand he's a way better father than we could ever be. He is a caring, loving father. He knows exactly what you need. And no matter the circumstances of your life, what you're facing, God wants you to know he's right there. He's your Father. Verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, and whenever we see that word therefore, we should ask what it is therefore. And it takes us to the earlier verse, verse 21. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. And one of the greatest sources of fear is with money. And so certainly in a pandemic, we're fearing for our health and worry with that. But for most people, everything comes down to finances. And so Jesus says, you and I are going to have to make a choice in life, whether we lay up treasures in heaven or whether we'll lay up for ourselves treasures here on this earth. We have to make the choice whether we will live all for ourselves, concerned about ourselves, or whether we'll be concerned about God in terms of his priority and purpose for our life. So really, the choice comes down to us. What are our priorities? And in verse 22, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. And that word worry, as originally written in the Greek, literally means to divide the mind. It means to be double-minded. And so on the one hand, we could say, you know what, I really do want to please God, but on the other hand, I want to make sure I'm taking care of, number one, myself. On the one hand, I would love to be generous or to help out or to give an offering, but on the other hand, I don't know if I'm going to need this money later on. We have a divided mind financially. It could be a divided mind. On one hand, I want to trust God. I can't see the future, but I know he does. So I'm going to trust God. But on the other hand, you're like, well, but what about this? And that's not looking so good. And what about this? And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't have a divided mind. Trust God. Give him your whole heart, all of your trust. Trust him in your finances. Trust him with your future. Trust him for every single thing you and I could ever need. And the problem is we begin to think about all the circumstances. Well, what about this? And Jesus' answer in verse 30, he says, your Father knows what you need. He cares for you. God knows everything you and I need. And so what Jesus does then, he goes on and he gives us three different illustrations of the Father's care for us. Verse 22, Jesus said to the disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, and that is talking about your future. He says, what you will eat, that's your food, about your body, what you will wear, that's your fashion or your lack thereof. In other words, since earthly treasures, they don't last, and focusing on them cause us to worry about these kind of things. And to Jesus' audience, these would have been great concerns and perhaps bigger concerns than they are for us today. These are people who lived in a time where there were not huge grocery stores on every corner, and it was an agricultural society, and so they raised their food. And Israel looks nothing like Wisconsin. You see, here we have all this rich soil, all these farm fields. We have reliable rain year in and year out. But rain in Israel is much more sparse and seasonal. And so if it's a dry year, you're not going to have crops and you're not going to have food. They're not going to have what they need to take care of themselves. And so Jesus, he gives these three illustrations of God's care. And the first illustration is that of food. Verse 23, for life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Did you realize that God takes care of the birds? Job 38:41, who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wander about for the lack of food? Or Psalm 147, he provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. And what Jesus says, if God takes care of the birds, will he not take care of you? If he feeds them, will he not feed you also? And we are so much more valuable than a bird in God's perspective. And every person who can't stand geese says, amen. You know, after all, there is no bird who has a place prepared for them in heaven. No bird has been made a co-heir with Christ. No bird has ever been called a son or daughter of God. And so if you're struggling this morning, you have a spirit of fear, could it be that you have forgotten who your Father is, that he is our provider, and we can trust him even when we can't see how he'll work it all out? You know, I remember when I first bought a home. It was a condo. I was 25 years old, and I was sitting down with my dad, and we're making out the budget. We're figuring out, is it feasible for me to even buy this thing? And so after figuring out, okay, this is the mortgage and the taxes and the condo fees and there's going to be utilities, I had $27 left over each month. And that was an eye-opener. And I said, Dad, you know, that's not really that much money. And he says, you're right, $27 is not a lot. But this is what he said. I've remembered it all these years. He says, what you can't see is the blessing of God on your life. You can't see the personalized care of your heavenly Father, and he was right. And so some of you, when you're looking over that budget, you're crunching the numbers, and it's tight. What you could be forgetting is that you have a heavenly Father. And he's a God that will take care of every need you could possibly have, so there is no need to worry. Verse 23, he says, life is more than food. That's a deep thought. I just want you to think about that. Life is more than food. You see, when we are anxious, it reduces life down to less than God intended it to be. Your life is more than just worrying about what you're going to eat. Your body is more about than what you will just wear. You're so much more valuable than the birds. And what he's saying is, you and I were not put in this life just simply to exist and get by. God has created us for a far higher purpose than just being alive. I was reading that the blue whale eats 4 tons of krill a day. Hummingbirds, they have a fast metabolism, requiring them to eat twice their weight each day in nectar. We're not an animal. Life is more than food. We weren't created to be just a mindless eating machine, although that is fun at times. You know, when it comes to clothing for the body, we weren't created just to be a mannequin. God has a greater purpose for our life than that. If God saved you, he has a purpose for your life. And if he has a purpose for your life, doesn't it stand to reason that he would provide everything you need so you can carry out that purpose? But here's the thing about God. He does it in a way over the top way. Jesus said in John 10:10, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You see, he came that we could have life and we could have it to the full and we could have it more abundantly. And you can trust that you have a generous God who will do good in your life and he will provide for you. There's another illustration that Jesus gives, and this is in regards to our future. He says in verse 25, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? You see, in God's eyes, causing us to live just for one more hour or for another week or another month or a year, that is a small thing to God. He can do that. But Jesus says, if you, on the other hand, you are not able to do something as small as that, why would you worry about all the rest? And so there are some listening today, and you are worried about getting the virus, and I get it. And I talk with lots of people who have valid concerns, and the virus is very prevalent right now in our state and really around the whole world. And so I'm not suggesting we be cavalier about it or unwise. You know, as a church, we've really sought to be wise and loving. What would God have us to do? And so we're having some distance, and we're washing our hands, and we're not touching our face, and we want to make sure all the surfaces are wiped down. And all those things are wise, but here's the fact of the matter. We can trust God to protect us. Psalm 91:1, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Verse 9. If you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And so God is going to help us. And think about it. If you and I do not have the power to add 60 minutes to our life, why would we worry about all the rest when we know the one who controls every part of our life? Psalm 139. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Do you know this? That God has your life written out. God has planned your life. He knows how long you and I are going to live, so we don't need to worry about it. God will take care of us. And then he goes on, he gives this third illustration of God's care, and it's in the area of clothing or fashion. And this is important for some people because the most important room in your life is your closet. And God says, I get it. You want to look good. But don't get caught up exclusively in that. Verse 27, consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And so when we drive around in the springtime and we see the fields and the hills and they just become a carpet of flowers, it is spectacular. And Jesus says, I want you to look at all of these flowers. It is beautiful and it is effortless. And we can spend all our time worrying about these things, but we need to trust that the Lord cares for us. By the way, Mount Rainier, put it on your bucket list. So Jesus says, you have a perfect heavenly Father. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of what you eat, of what you wear. He's going to take care of how long you live. But then Jesus, he gives a second reason we shouldn't live in fear, and simply this, that fear is the opposite of faith. And God has put a deposit of faith into each one of us. Jesus, he ends verse 28, he says, you of little faith. And he uses that exact phrase four different times when talking to the disciples, each of the times that they're not trusting God, whether they are worried about the storm, they're worried about food, they're worried about lifespan, they're worried about clothing. And if we believe that God can save us, if we have the faith to believe that Jesus has forgiven us, if we have the faith to believe that he has created for us a home in heaven, if he does all that, doesn't it stand to reason he could meet our most basic needs? We need to walk by faith. Worry is not only unproductive, but worry is a sin because it's not taking God at his word when he says he'll take care of us. When we're worrying, we're saying, God, I really don't think you're doing what you said you would in your word. And if I'm saying I don't believe, God, that you'll take care of me, it's the same as saying the Bible is not true. And so worry is uncharacteristic of people of faith. But on the other hand, people far from God, worry is very characteristic. Verse 29, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. That phrase, pagan world, simply means those who don't know God, those who are far from God. They don't know God as their Father. They don't know that God loves them. They don't understand his ability to provide for them. And notice, they run after all of these things. And so they get their side hustle on. They crave these things and they chase these things. They're doing everything they can to get it, but that is not the case for the Christian. Your Father knows that you have need of these things. We know God provides over and over again. Psalm 34, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 10, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their trouble. And so we have a God that provides. And the question is, do you believe that? And so I just want to ask a question. Are you facing this year of 2020 as a Christian, as a believer, as a child of God who knows they have a heavenly Father? Or are you going through 2020 like a person who is far from God, thinking everything rests on you? What's your faith like? Are you walking by faith or by fear? Fear is uncalled for because we have a loving heavenly Father. Fear is uncalled for because we walk by faith. But there's a third reason why fear is out of the picture. It's this: we have a different focus. We are to have a higher focus in our life, and it's the kingdom of heaven. That is our focus. Verse 31, Jesus speaks these words. He says, but seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek his kingdom. That means I'm going to seek his purposes in my life. We're saying, God, I want to put you first. I want you to rule in my life. I want to see your reign extended. I'm going to give you my time and my energy and my resource. My focus is for your kingdom and for your agenda and for your priorities. And God says, if you take care of my business for you, I'm going to take care of all the rest. Now stop and think about that for a moment. That is one of the greatest deals you have ever been presented. God says, if you take care of my business, I will take care of all the rest. And so let me ask you, if God has promised to take care of everything else for you, then what is there left to be fearful of? Absolutely nothing. We don't need to worry. We don't need to be afraid. All we have to do is put Jesus first and seek his kingdom. And when we do that, we find peace covering over our hearts and our minds as we simply see the blessing of God in our lives. And so I want to ask you straight up, in this year that is filled with so much fear and worry, are you seeking the kingdom of God first? And so again, I want to reiterate that COVID is real and we need to be wise. Some of ourselves, we find ourselves at a greater risk due to health issues we face. But I just want to let you know some of the things I've been encountering over the last few months. There are individuals and families in our church who have taken every precaution possible. They have essentially quarantined themselves in their homes since March. They work from home, there's little exposure outside, and they've not been to church since early this year, and they have gotten COVID. There are other individuals and families, they've been involved with ministry and serving during this entire season. They interact with multitudes of people on a daily basis. They haven't gotten COVID. There are others who have been out and about, and they have been serving and going to work, and they have gotten COVID, and they've experienced mild symptoms, and they've recovered in a matter of days. And then, sadly, there are some of us that we have family members that are struggling with COVID right now, and it's pretty serious. Some of you may have even lost loved ones, and COVID was a contributing cause. And so be smart and be wise. You know, we pray for the health of this congregation every single day. We pray for you whether you're here in the building or whether you're online. But whatever you do to stay safe in 2020, could I ask you to do this? Would you first talk to your Heavenly Father about it? Would you have the faith that He knows best and that He would guide you into the very best decisions for you and your family? You know, so I've had people tell me, you know what, I think it's just best that I pull away for now. I think it's just best that I won't serve. Or I think it's best, you know what, we're just going to do church. We're not going to go to church. And this is for an extended period of time. I'm not going to take any chances. And so, respectfully and humbly, I want to ask this question. Did you pray about that? Did God tell you to do that? Did God say, that is my best plan for the year 2020 for you? And if God didn't tell you to do that, shouldn't it scare you that you're making plans for your life independent of God? It sounds a lot like Jonah. You know, fear will distract us from what matters most in life. Fear gets our eyes off of things of eternal significance, and it gets us consumed with the logistics of having just enough money and just enough food just to add 60 minutes to our life. And Jesus says, if you seek my kingdom, and if you take care of my business, I will take care of the rest. You know, in these last few moments, I just want to share my life first. And I believe all of us as believers, we need to have some passage that we go to that serves as a foundation for our life. And for mine, it's been Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation, which I call the Kids Bible for Adults. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a lot that that passage says, and there's a lot that passage doesn't say. Notice it says, His peace will guard your hearts and your minds. He's going to guard your heart and mind. It doesn't say He's going to guard you from every situation. And so in this world, you and I, we will face trouble. You will find yourself in conflict, and you may find yourself in an industry that is really struggling in 2020, and you may get COVID. And God has not promised to guard you from every difficult situation, so don't get disappointed when God doesn't deliver what you expect, but He has not promised. But God will guard your heart and your mind in the midst of trouble. He'll guard you from fear. And so here's what the passage does actually say. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That is life-changing advice. Don't worry about the pandemic. Don't worry about finances. Don't worry about health. God's got this. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And so this isn't just simply saying, I'm just going to check out of my mind. I'm just going to try to make this nirvana up here. It's saying, no, you're going to take all of those worries and you're going to take it to God. I'm going to have a conversation with God about my worries because I believe he's going to do something powerful. I believe he's going to meet my needs. And this passage has the ability to root fear out of our lives, and it starts by telling us, don't worry about anything. And remember, that word worry means that we have a divided mind. A mind that says, on one hand, I want to trust God, but on the other hand, I'm watching 3 hours of news a day. Remember, the news is simply a business that is supported by advertising. The news is never the story of what's going right. It's always the story of what's going wrong. And fear and panic cause people to tune in. And there's a very clear motive because it affects the bottom line. And so a heart and a mind that takes in more news than it does word will be a critically divided mind. And so less news, more word. Less Twitter, more worship. Don't worry about anything. Don't have a divided mind. Tell God what you need. And so prayer is this general idea. We have a conversation with God throughout the day. We tell God what's on our hearts. And it's important that you and I learn to have those conversations throughout the whole day. But then we need to go further than that. We tell God specifically the things that we need. And so we say, God, I'm asking for your health. God, I'm asking you to stretch $27. God, I'm praying for my kids in school. God, I'm praying that there's not another run on toilet paper. God, I'm praying that there'll be godly men and women in positions of authority. You know, if you've been worrying, have you been praying as much as you've been worrying? Worrying is like a rocking chair in front of Cracker Barrel. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. But your prayer will change the outcome. Prayer ushers God's will as it's done in heaven into earth. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. You know, as we talk to God throughout the day, we ask him for specific things and then we thank him for what he's already done. And God wants us to come to him honest in our prayers. You don't need to hold anything back from him. And so you can say, you know what, God, I don't get it. And how come? And God, I'm disappointed or I'm sad, and that's okay. But one of the marks of maturity in our lives is when we begin to move from complaining and towards thanksgiving. You know, God, thank you for providing for me. God, thank you that I got over COVID in just a few days. God, thank you that I lost a few pounds while I had COVID. God, thank you for a consistent paycheck in 2020. You know, one of the things that builds my faith is when I think back over my life and all the ways that God has come through, he's been faithful over and over again, and then I tell other people about it. Now watch what happens when you and I pray, when we let God know what we need, when we give him thanks for all that he's already done, verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, as God is answering our prayers, as he's meeting our needs, he's filling our minds with peace. And notice that God's peace surpasses understanding. God's peace is better than understanding. It's better to have the peace of God than to try to understand everything that's gone on this year. Sometimes people will say, well, if I could just understand, well, then I'd have peace. Not true. If God told you everything he was going to do, It might cause you to have more anxiety at times because you couldn't believe all that He has planned. And so peace is better than knowing what God's doing and how He's going to do it. Fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So God wants to do something in us today. He wants to remind us that I am your Heavenly Father. Fear is not necessary. I have given you faith. Fear is not necessary. He's asked us to come in prayer and that we lay all of these burdens down and that He will guard our hearts and our minds with peace. And so let's take a moment. We're going to pray. I'm going to just invite you to stand where you're at. We're just going to make this a place where we bring it up to the Lord right now. This altar is also open if you just want to come and say, God, I just want to have one-on-one conversation with you. But let's just take a moment. As I pray, you can start praying right where you're at. You can come to this altar. But Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are a perfect Heavenly Father. And Lord, You don't want us worrying about the most basic of needs of life. You have these things taken care of. And so Lord, that I pray that faith would arise right now. God, build our faith. Point our faith in the right direction. Our faith is not in ourselves, and our faith is not in another person. Our faith is in You. Lord, so many of us, Lord, we sense that time is short. And so, Lord, You told us we need to seek Your kingdom first. We need to keep the priorities on the front burner. Lord, we need to tell everyone we know about Jesus Christ. That salvation is found in Him alone. And Lord, some of us, we've just really struggled with distraction this year. It's totally thrown us off our game. And so right now, I pray once again, God, we would get our eyes on a higher focus, the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would not make one move this year without seeking You first. Lord, You know the future. Lord, You know what's best for our health. Lord, You know what is best for the faith of our kids. And so, Lord, just stop us in our tracks anytime we think we're going to make those decisions independent of You. God, let us be humble and let us lean in and let us hear what You have to say. God, we just want to thank You as a congregation. We want to thank You for Your faithfulness, Your goodness. You have a proven track record. God, some of us, there are needs this morning. And so we do want to lift up, Lord, each person. They're not able to join us this Sunday, Lord. They are quarantined, Lord. They are sick. And we ask that the blood of Jesus would cover them. Thank You, Jesus. You paid the price for our healing. And so we lift up our brothers and sisters who need that touch today. God, would You flow through them, heal them, strengthen them. But as we bring our needs, Lord, we say thank You. Thank You for all that You've done. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.